a radio show that confesses Christ
without confusing the law and the gospel.
A radio show that takes Scripture seriously
without taking ourselves so seriously.
You're listening to
Table Talk Radio.
When we look at ourselves and the situation of the world, God is certainly there, but He's hidden there. He's not seen there. He hasn't put Himself there to be found. Where He puts Himself to be found is on the cross. That's where we know that He loves us. So we can just as well undo God's love for us as we can go back in time and pry the nails out of Jesus' hands.
We can just proclaim God's word, trust it will do what it says it will do, and no longer be judging the effectiveness of the preached word by human standards of measurement, by the number of people that are there, but rather to just do what God told us to do, to preach the word and administer the sacraments.
Charles Finney could have possibly had the ugliest face of any theologian.
Except for Brian Wolfman. Welcome to this edition of Table Talk Radio. Man. Are you groaning?
I'm insulted every time I hear that. that reminds me, though, of the points joke that I just saw on our Facebook page on Table Talk Radio, where the points are like wearing an ugly mask to the Table Talk Radio Halloween party. Yeah!
Which we have every year, right?
Right.
All right. Well, today's Table Talk Radio has a special guest. It is Vicar Jay Hobson of Trinity Lutheran Church in St. Joseph, Michigan. Welcome, Jay Hobson, to Table Talk Radio.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. Well, for today's lineup, we're going to play the Book of Concord B, Vicar versus Pastor. And so our guest, Jay Hobson, could actually walk away with points at the end of the show. So, and then we're going to play Don't Forget the Stanzas to Your Hymns. If there's any time left over, the leftovers for Table Talk Radio is... the predictable pastor or the predictable vicar. I think we played that once, and we haven't played it again. So I don't know. I don't know why.
I can't remember.
I was emailing.
It's unpredictable.
I was emailing though my home pastor because I'm going to be visiting there in a few weeks, and he said that the people in his church are telling him that he's a predictable pastor and that that's a good thing. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's true. We always know we're going to get a little law from you. We're never quite sure about the gospel.
Okay. No, I don't think that's it. Okay, let's start out doing some buzzwords. The buzzword I have for you, so give you a little bit more time to find one, Pastor. Buzzword I have for you.
I got it. Don't worry.
Is hamartiology, which in systematic theology refers to the doctrine of sin. So hamartiology.
Why is the doctrine of sin called hamartiology?
Oh, because of the Greek word for sin, which is Jay.
Hamartion.
All right.
Hamartion. Nice. Oh, it's a good thing to have a vicar along for the ride. I have a buzzword for you, too, and that is the word saint. So you have the sinner, and I got the saint. We had it last show. We had the buzzword sanctification, but saint simply means holy one. But maybe the most interesting thing to say about it is there's two ways, generally, that people think about holiness. There is the holiness of the law, which is what most people think about. When, for example, oh, they're a saint, they're holier than thou, etc. Well, that's the holiness of the law, holiness by works. But when the Bible comes to talk about being a saint, it's talking about the forgiveness of sins. We are holy not because of what we do, but because of what Jesus did on the cross, so that everyone who is baptized is a saint.
Right. Okay, good. Well, are you ready to play some Book of Concord, B?
Oh, man, I was born ready for this game.
Well, we'll send it to the vicar first for the first entry. So, Vicar Jay Hobson, your entry for Book of Concord, B is this. We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look upon our sins or deny our petitions on account of them. We are not worthy of the things for which we pray.
I see how
neither
this
have
game
we deserved
goes.
Them. But we pray that He would grant them all to us by grace. For we daily sin much and indeed deserve nothing but punishment. So will we truly on our part also heartily forgive and really do good to those who sin against us. Do you have any idea what document in the Book of Concord that could be?
Small catechism.
The small catechism it is. Do you want to talk?
Hey, you know what we should do, Evan? Before we get too far into this game, we should actually explain what the Book of Concord is. If there's a listener or two out there that doesn't know.
Well, if there's a listener or two, we should tell them what it is. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So, did you want to do that then?
No. You go ahead.
Okay. Well, the Book of Concord is the collection of documents that are the confession of the Lutheran Church. So, if you this is the wonderful thing that the Lutheran Church has a book in which it says what you believe. So now, if you ask the question, "What is a Lutheran?" the question isn't what is the church name that you go to. So I'm a member of so and so Lutheran Church. That's not what a Lutheran is. A Lutheran is someone who believes what the Book of Concord says. What the confessions of the church say. So now, if your confession is that of the Book of Concord, then you are then a Lutheran. And I think that's a good way to define it, because there are so many people who are now call themselves Lutherans, but they don't teach what the book says, and so they themselves are departing from what a Lutheran is.
Yeah, and there's 10 documents in this book. They were all collected in 1580, but they come from the century. So the first three, you have the creeds, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed, and then you have the Augsburg Confession, the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, the two catechisms, large and small called articles, and then the Formula of Concord, both the abbreviated version and the full version. So you have 10 documents in this thing, which are simply teaching, reflecting the teaching of the Scriptures in response to the various church conflicts. And so the way this game works then is Evan reads a section from one of these books, and we have to guess which section of the Book of Concord, what little document in the book it comes from. And the vicar has guessed that this previous reading from Evan, which was milk toast, was from the small catechism.
All right, so you have any comments on the fifth petition, Jay?
The fifth petition to the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
Yeah, I can say a little bit about that. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. Christ, our Lord, came down from heaven and forgave us our sins. And therefore, just as our Lord forgave us, then we're to forgive those who forgave just as our Lord forgave us, we're to forgive others.
That's right. And so that we actually learn our forgiveness of others from God who forgives us for the sake of Christ. Very good. Okay, now, Pastor, it's time for you.
You're going to give the vicar there some points?
Oh,
two
yeah.
points?
Yeah,
three points?
200 points for Vicar Hobson.
Oh, man. I don't know if it's safe to trust vicars with that many points.
All right, Pastor. Your entry then is this. To preserve this true Christian doctrine about the Holy Supper and to avoid and abolish many idolatrous abuses and perversions of this testament, the following useful rule and standard has been derived from the words of institution. Nothing has the nature of a sacrament apart from the use instituted by Christ or apart from the action divinely instituted. This means if Christ's institution is not kept as he appointed it, then there is no sacrament. This is by no means to be rejected, but can and should be encouraged and maintained with the benefit in God's church.
Aha. Okay. Now, the discussion here in this little section is about the Lord's Supper, the sacrament of the altar. And it's saying that, look, you don't do anything apart from the words, the use which Jesus has given us. So Jesus said, when he gave the Lord's Supper, his last will and testament, he said, take and eat. And do this in remembrance of me. So anything beyond taking and eating and doing in remembrance then is not part of the distribution of the Lord's Supper. So, for example, in the medieval church, they had the Corpus Christi parades. So you would take the body and blood of Christ and you'd put it in some sort of canister and you'd lift it up and you'd walk around town with it. Or they had the practice also of adoration. This is still a common practice in the Roman Catholic Church, where you have the body and blood of Christ in the monstrance in the tabernacle kept on the altar, and people would come and pray and adore the body and blood of Christ there. Jesus didn't say to do any of that stuff. He said take and eat, so that this is what we're supposed to be doing. Now this whole it's marvelous the way, I mean, the Lutheran Church, when it comes to the Lord's Supper, just takes the words so simply. This is my body. This is my blood. It doesn't try to do any sort of fancy pants arguing or figuring with it. It just says this it is what it is. So now, where do the Lutheran confessions talk about the Lord's Supper? You have an article on it in the Augsburg Confession, also the Apology. Luther talks about it in the catechisms, in Smalcald, and especially in the Formula of Concord. So all of them talk about it, but this particularly rings of the language and type of discussion that we have in the Formula of Concord. That'll be my guess, Formula of Concord.
That is correct, the Formula of Concord. All right, do you want to try and guess more specifically than that with 30 seconds?
Sure, I'll guess the Solid Declaration, Article 7.
That's true, but I'm only going to give you 200 points. Okay.
Oh.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of this segment of Table Talk Radio. But don't worry.
You get so deflated when I get answers right. Oh, it's so fun.
We're going to continue playing Book of Concord B on Table Talk Radio right after this break. We want to hear from you, agree or disagree. Call us at 866-851-5523 or questions at tabletalkradio.org. Be right back.
Get in line in that processional. Step into that small confessional. They're the guy who's got religion. I'll tell you if your sin's original. If it is, try playing it safer. Drink the wine and chew the wafer. 2, 4, 6, 8. Time to transubstantiate. So get down upon your knees. Fiddle with your rosaries. Bow your head with great respect and genuflect, genuflect, genuflect. Make a cross on your abdomen. When in Rome, do like a Roman. Ave Maria, gee, it's good to see you. Getting ecstatic and sort of dramatic and doing the batting and right.
Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, host of Issues Etc. When I can't sleep, I listen to Table Talk Radio.
At Table Talk Radio, we are playing the Book of Concord B, in which we analyze the Reformation documents of the Lutheran confessions. The score is 200-200, Vicar Jay Hobson versus Pastor Brian Wolfmuller. And it's time then for round two with Jay Hobson's turn. Are you ready, Jay, for your second entry?
I'm ready.
All right, here it is. Our churches teach that people cannot be justified before God by their own strength, merits, or works. People are freely justified for Christ's sake, through faith, when they believe that they are received into favor, that their sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. By his death, Christ made satisfaction for our sins. God counts this faith for righteousness in his sight.
Augsburg Confession, Article 4.
All right.
Ding, whoa, ding, man, ding, without ding. Even hesitating. Wow.
All right. Tell us a little bit about this article on justification and what it is teaching primarily.
Yeah, it's the common thing we hear is that it's the article on which the church stands or falls. You guys talk about it every show. It's that Christ atoned for the sins of the whole world, and it is his righteousness accounted to us where we are essentially completely sinful in all things. So we are counted righteous on account of what Christ has done for us.
Okay, in contrast then to what was being taught at the time, why was that article so foundational for what the Reformers were going through?
Yeah, in Rome at the time, there was talk you could get to heaven by works, by indulgences, and essentially the things that were not it wasn't God's work. It was man's work. And so the Reformers, when they were thinking about this and looking at the Word of God, they said, well, you know, it's not what man does, but it's what God has done for man in Jesus Christ that ultimately gains him salvation.
Pretty good. All right. That's 200 points.
Bringing
the final score so far to 400 for Vicar Jay Hobson. And now it's time for Pastor's turn of round two of Bible B. Oh, you ready, Pastor?
Wait, except for we're playing Book of Concord B.
Oh, yeah.
But never mind that.
aside from the fact that we're not playing that game, you're ready? sorry. The Book of Concord Bee. Here it is. Ready? Yep. Nevertheless, the adversaries admit that satisfactions do not help in the pardon of guilt. They imagine that satisfactions help in delivering one from punishment, whether of purgatory or other punishments. They teach that God pardons guilt in the forgiveness of sins. Yet because divine justice requires sin to be punished, he transfers eternal punishment into temporary punishment. Further, they add that a part of this temporal punishment is pardoned by the power of the keys, but that the rest is delivered by means of satisfaction.
Yes. So, okay. So this is the Lutherans writing, and when they say the opponents, who they're talking about is the Pope and the Church of Rome, and here this is a discussion of the medieval Roman system of penance, satisfaction, etc., etc. There's one place in the Book of Concord where it says, "Look, they don't know what they're talking about. Neither do we. I mean, nobody knows what they're talking about when they talk about satisfactions, making punishment for guilt, etc." But it's something like this: you sin, and that puts you in some sort of divine debt. So you gotta, that debt has to be paid somehow. Well, to pay off the divine debt, you gotta get merit somehow. Well, how can you get merit? Well, the Holy Spirit comes through the sacramental life of the Church to empower you to do some sort of good work of penance, and then that merits you something to make up for the sin that you've done. This is a complicated system of medieval system of penance, and that's what they're talking about there. This comes up in the discussion of repentance in the Lutheran confessions and in the Reformation. Really, I heard someone say that the entire Reformation could be understood as a discussion about what repentance is. And the Lutherans come along and said, look, you don't need this whole big, long, complicated... Repentance is that the Holy Spirit comes to us in the law and shows us our sin, and then he comes to us in the gospel and he shows us our forgiveness. That's that. So this discussion of repentance is a long discussion, especially in the first two uniquely Lutheran documents of the Book of Concord, the Augsburg Confession and the Apology of the Augsburg Confession. So this, to me, sounds an awful lot like the discussion of repentance in the Apology to the Augsburg Confession, Article 12.
You nailed it. To Article 12 of the Apology of the Augsburg Confession.
Oh, my God. Dear listener, you are listening to Evan just being constantly deflated. It's like watching a blimp go down, you know? Woof, a little bit of air goes out of it. You got it. 200 points.
I'm on your side. I'm cheering for you. Now, why are they saying sorry for their for the Augsburg, it says apology.
The apology? that's a Greek word, right? Apologia, which means to make a defense. So the apology of the Augsburg Confession is the defense of the Augsburg Confession. Just like when we study apologetics, it's the defense of the faith. So apology in the original sense means defense. Only lately, I don't know what I mean by the word lately, maybe the last couple hundred years, did apology really take on the meaning of apologizing. I'm sorry. So that's the reason. It means something different now than it did then.
It's all tied up here. 400 to 400, we're playing the Book of Concord Bee on Table Talk Radio. Vicar Jay Hobson versus Pastor Brian Wolfmuller. Jay, you ready for your final entry of Book of Concord Bee?
I'm ready. Let me have it.
All right, here it is. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally. The Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. But the Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one, the glory equal and the majesty co-equal. Or co-eternal, I'm sorry. I can keep going.
Yeah.
Such as the Father is, such as the Son, and such as the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. Let me keep going?
No, you're good.
Okay.
That's what I thought of that. Athanasian Creed.
That's it. Yeah. All right. Do you know anything about this creed and what it's talking about?
Yeah, it's supposedly attributed to St. Athanasius, though wrongly. it was a creed of the church that we hold to that does a very good job of explaining the distinctions within the Trinity, but doesn't, but makes it clear that there is only one God. And it's a creed that we usually say in the Lutheran Church, for most churches, once a year on Holy Trinity Sunday.
All right, well, this is a free-for-all, whoever wants it, either you or pastor. A lot of time people balk at this last line of this creed, and it says this, "And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire." And so many say, well, hey, look, that is not salvation by faith alone. So there's the toss. It's like playing 500. Who's going to get it?
Take it, Vicar. Take it.
All right. Here we go. So it says, those who do good. Can we read that one more time?
Yeah. Sure. Those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil will enter eternal fire.
Right. So those who have done good will enter into eternal life. And it's true. It's certainly true. But it's understanding that which our good works are only good when we are in Christ Jesus. They're only seen as good by the Father when we are in Christ Jesus. If we are outside of Christ Jesus, if we are not, do not have faith in Him and do not believe that He has accounted us righteous, then our works are not seen as good in the eyes of the Father.
So it doesn't say that they're saved by those works, but those who have faith in Christ are doing good works, and those who do not have faith aren't doing good works. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right.
We can understand it something like this, is that the world says, it's not fair that God judges you on faith. I mean, the unbelieving world says, that's not fair. I want to be judged on my goodness. The world has a sense that judgment should be based on good works, and I think that the Holy Trinity will say, if this is the judgment you want, then fine. Judgment will be based on good works. It just so happens that apart from faith, you can do nothing good, nothing at all. So that the judgment that the world asks for is the judgment that the world gets. So that they are then judged guilty, not because they didn't believe, but because they did all sorts of wicked nonsense and sin. And yet the Christians, because they did believe in Jesus and had faith in Him, are judged righteous and holy to be in His sight forever.
Right. Okay, well, that is the conclusion of this segment. Pastor, the score is 600 to 400. And we'll get your final chance here right after this break. If you want to play the Book of Concord Be with us, give us a call, 866-851-5523, or send me an email, evan@tabletalkradio.org, and you can go up against Pastor Brian Wolfmuller in the Book of Concord Be. Again, 866-851-5523. We'll finish this up and play Don't Forget the Stanzas to Your Hymns right after this break on Table Talk Radio. If you wanna rock, you rock. If you wanna roll, you roll. You can roll with the punches, as long as he feels like he's in control. And if you wanna stay, he stays. If you wanna go, he goes. He doesn't care how he gets there, as long as he gets somewhere he knows. Oh no.
Table Talk Radio. The games are just an excuse.
Yeah.
We should change this into a praise song.
600 to 400 is the score. Vicar J. Hobson in the lead on Book of Concord B. And it's time for Pastor's final round here on Table Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning us in. All right, you ready for your last round, Pastor?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right, here it is.
Let me stop checking my email here and pay attention. Hold on.
The adversaries accept this on account of the condition that we use canonical ordination. About this subject, we have often testified in this assembly that it is our greatest desire to keep church orders and ranks, even though they have been made by human authority. We know that the church discipline in this matter laid down in the ancient canons was set up by the fathers for a good and useful purpose. But the bishops either urge our priests to reject and condemn the doctrine which we have confessed, or by a new and unheard of cruelty they put the poor innocent men to death.
So here they're saying, look, you have all these ranks of angels and archangels applied to the pastors, right? That's what the Catholic Church had done. So you have priests, bishops, and archbishops, and different lawyers, and that you finally have the Pope, the head of them all. So they're saying, look, if you are willing to admit that these come by human arrangement, jure humano, human arrangement, then we'll accept it. But if you go along and saying that this is all by divine ordinance, this church hierarchy and church structure, then you're just miserable. Because first of all, God didn't do it, and second of all, it just becomes a system of abuse for people. It's terrible. So they're kind of throwing down the gauntlet, saying, look, we'll keep your church structure if you will simply acknowledge that it's a human arrangement and not a divine arrangement. What? The Pope wouldn't go for it. I mean, the papacy is built on the fact that the Pope is a divine institution. Now, where do you find it in the Bible? What is the words of institution for the papacy? You just simply can't find it. It just so happens that the way the Roman Catholic Church does it, is they say that every promise God gave to Peter goes then to the Pope, which is strange. You have to say, why is that? I mean, why not give every promise that God gave to John, to all of the nuns or something? I mean, it makes just about as much sense, does it? I mean, the promises were to Peter, not to this mysterious office of the Pope. So anyways, this is a big brouhaha in the Reformation, and it comes up a number of times in the Book of Concord. Now, this is kind of tricky. There is the last article of the Augsburg Confession, that must be Article 28 on the power of bishops. That's also in the Apology of the Augsburg Confession. So you could be going for and this would be more like the Apology, although in the Augsburg Confession, once you get past Article 16 or whatever, things get really wordy. So this could be either of those, or it could be in this little appendix that Philip Melanchthon wrote to Luther's small called articles called The Power and Primacy of the Pope. And I'm kind of leaning towards that, even though it would be a tricky thing for you to do, to take the Apology of the Augsburg Confession again. But I think this question about church structure being of human origin versus being of divine origin is really one of the major themes in the Power and Primacy of the Pope. So that's what I'm going to say, the treatise.
I'm sorry, you did not get that one right. So that's a zero in the column for you. This is actually from the Apology.
Oh, you did trick me. Aha. I should have known.
Now, do you want to guess which article?
28.
No, this is actually Article 14. And
Article 14 is,
our churches teach that no one should publicly teach in the church or administer the sacraments without rightly ordered call.
Yeah, this is inside baseball now for all you Lutherans. This is one of these big things,
we're
though.
We're playing Book of Concord, but isn't it already inside baseball?
Yeah, this is double inside baseball now. That's a good point you make. I know we're appealing to all of our evangelical listeners there by playing Book of Concord B.
The Baptists are just scrambling to play Book of Concord B.
For all those non-Lutherans, even for the Lutherans, you know you can buy the Book of Concord for like $10 from Concordia Publishing House and a little soft bound common print. What's the cheap paper print? It's nice. That's a really handy
thing. That's what I'm reading from, actually.
Carry that in your back pocket. We should give that away. If a listener wants to come on and play Book of Concord B and challenge me, then we will send one of those books to them if they win. How about that?
That is right. Now, it's about 4 inches thick, so if you have it in your back pocket, you could sit higher.
No, it's not that bad. this is one of those big debates now in the Lutheran Church, because say, look, you can't preach or teach or administer the sacraments unless you've been rightly called. So what is that rite vocatus? What is that right call? And this is really, when you have the whole discussion of lay ministry, of alternate routes to ordination, this is all different ways of getting around Article 14 of the Augsburg Confession. One of the problems is, this is a serious problem in the Lutheran Church, is we have a tendency to see the Book of Concord as like our canon law. We can follow it, and now we're interpreting it to see what it allows, how far we can go from it, et cetera, et cetera. It's like the teenager asking you in youth group saying, hey, I have a girlfriend, how far can we go? Well, as soon as you ask that question, you are in dangerous territory. And this is what we do with the Lutheran Confession.
Now we take Article 14 and go, now what's the minimum that I have to do to be rightly called?
How far can I go and still be not being in trouble with Article 14? Well, the real question that the teenager should be asking is, how can I treat this gal in holiness and in with respect? And so we with the Book of Concord, Article 14, how can we best keep this? How can we order our practice so we are right in the center of this thing? Instead of testing the boundaries and the edges, we want to stay right in the center of it. So that's my speech. Article 4, but I got it wrong. You got me on that one.
So the final score so far is 400 to 600. But now, don't worry, Pastor. It's time to play. Don't forget the stanza to your hymn. So you might have a chance to catch up here.
Doubtful. This game is miserable. And, why are we playing this game again?
Oh, because we have a special guest, Vicar Jay Hobson from Trinity Lutheran Church in St. Joseph, Michigan. And he is going to be the singer of the hymns today.
Hey, so, a cantor.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So
official Table Talk Radio canting. Except for I prefer to call the canter, not cant. Can.
Oh,
can,
gotcha.
You can.
All right, you ready to sing?
That's bad.
Sure. Whenever you're ready.
All right. To us, therefore, Christ gave command, go forth and preach in every land, bestow on all my pardoning grace, who will repent and mend their
ways.
Yeah! Pachow! Whoop-pow!
All right, that one was worth 3 points, so...
He needs a softball. Oh.
No, I think round one is worth 100, so don't worry, Jay. You're still in the lead, 500 to 600. All right. What hymn was that, Jay?
That is Yea, As I Live, Jehovah Saith, or as in the LSB, As Surely As I Live, God Said.
Ah, very good.
That's a great little hymn. Yeah, Who wrote that hymn?
Nicholas Hermann.
Ah, the old Lutheran.
Yeah. Translated by Matthias Loy.
Oh, the even older Lutheran. Yeah. Wait, he can't be older if he translated it.
Yes.
Man, a Lutheran author. So this is talking about how the Lord desires to have the world in his kingdom. So here he go, his word, his spirit and his word go forth to the salvation of souls. This is a great little mission hymn.
Perfect. Okay, well, are you ready for round two then?
Whoa, they're coming fast. I'm ready.
All right. Jay, whenever you're ready.
All right. Thou sacred love, grace on us bestow. Set our hearts with heavenly fire aglow, that with hearts united we love each other, of one mind in peace.
You ended too soon. Of one of one mind. How did that last line go again?
Of one mind in peace.
In peace, each caring for his brother. I don't know. I can't remember. This is a great Holy the Pentecost hymn that's coming up here, but I can't think of it.
Of one mind. What did you say? What was your entry? What's your guess?
Each love their brother.
No, I'm sorry, that's not right. It is of one mind in peace with every brother. I'm sorry, that's not gonna.
That's not even the last line of the stanza, is it? Did he stop in the middle of the stanza?
Then it's Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy, yeah.
Lord have mercy.
That's the easy part. Yeah, I can't give you that.
Okay, well.
That was awfully close.
You'll have one more chance with one more round of Don't Forget the Stanzas to Your Hymns. And then we're going to play The Predictable Pastor and The Predictable Vicar. And we'll see how good I am at guessing what their response are going to be. Don't go away.
Where all the good people go? I've been changing channels. I don't see them on the TV show. Where are the good people go? We got heaps and heaps of what we sow.
What did you expect from a vicar? You're listening to Table Talk Radio.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feel, and I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds.
Welcome back to Table Talk Radio. Hey, you could probably get that one right. What's the next line? Before we play this last round of Don't Forget the Stanzas to Your Hymns, I do want to tell you, for those of you listening to Table Talk Radio on the radio, I want to encourage you to listen tonight, June 6th, on PirateChristianRadio.com. We're having a live Table Scraps Live, and we're talking with a Methodist professor as he gives his arguments for women's ordination. This is going to be 8 o'clock tonight, Central Time, on PirateChristianRadio.com. So Professor Larry Anderson of Central Christian College of McPherson, Kansas, will be on, and he's going to give us his arguments for women's ordination. And you will have the opportunity to call in and ask him questions, whatever questions you want concerning women's ordination. So PirateChristianRadio.com tonight at 8 Central Time.
I'll be there.
You'll be there. All right. We are playing Don't Forget the Stanzas to Your Hymn. And we have Vicar Jay Hobson.
You know, the troublesome word about that name of this game is just the word don't. You know, that's really what gives me all the grief. Don't forget the stanzas. If this was forget the stanzas,
you'd be a winner.
I'd be a pro.
All right. Vicar Jay Hobson of Trinity Lutheran Church in St. Joseph, Michigan is here. And he is leading today's show with 600 Table Talk Radio points to 500. But Pastor has one more round. So it all comes down to this. And this is worth 300 points. So, Jay, whenever you're ready.
All righty. Here we go. Thy kingdom come, thine let it be, in time and in eternity. Let thy good spirit benign our hearts with graces to supply. Break Satan's power, defeat his rage.
Preserve thy church from age to age.
I shouldn't have told you. I should have told you to not do a Luther hymn. That's okay, good.
It gives me a chance to talk about a Luther hymn, though, so that's a good thing.
Our goals are different. You want to find good hymns to talk about. I just want to see him lose.
That's right. I mean,
you guys are not on the same page.
All right, congratulations, yeah. Pastor. Okay, since you nailed this, why don't you tell us a little bit about this Luther hymn, Our Father, Luther Thou hymn. In Heaven Above.
This is a great Lord's Prayer hymn from Luther. So there's 9 stanzas in there, the introduction and the conclusion, the Amen, and then one stanza for each petition of the Lord's Prayer. And this is then Thy Kingdom Come, the second petition of the Lord's Prayer. This is a great missionary stanza that the Lord's kingdom would come among us, that the will of the devil would come to nothing, that the Lord would preserve his church. Etc. So this is simply a marvelous little hymn. It's a great way to learn the Lord's Prayer, is to learn this hymn.
Yes, I want to read the 6th stanza concerning the 5th petition. Forgive our sins, Lord, we implore, remove us from their burden sore, as we their trespasses forgive, who by offenses us do grieve. Thus let us dwell in charity and serve our brother willingly. That's a great, a nice little stanza on the 5th petition.
Yeah, they're all great. Remember, the Lord's Prayer has 2 parts, just like the 10 commandments. The first 3 commandments have to do with us and God. The last 7 commandments have to do with us and our neighbor. And this same sort of thing in the Lord's Prayer. The first 3 petitions have to do with the things that are God's, the thy petitions, thy name, thy kingdom, thy will. And then you have the us or the our petitions, our daily bread, our forgiveness, our leading not, or our leading, and our deliverance. So that you have this kind of double thing in the Lord's Prayer, that we're praying for the things that are God's to be given to us, and then we're praying the things that we need, that the Lord would give us those things also.
Hey, very good. Now let's play first a predictable vicar, and then we'll play the predictable pastor.
A new game already? You got to figure out how to get points for yourself.
I am a servant of my brothers, and so I am just here to bestow points to you in their richness.
I can't wait to tell you in a few minutes what the points are worth.
You're going to make me thank my services for naught. But how this game works is we're going to play a clip of something, and we'll send it first to the vicar and then a different one to the pastor. But what I'm doing is I'm writing down and guessing what they're going to say, what the response will be. And this is how I get points, don't I? Don't I get points based on how many I get right?
Right.
And so
you do get points on this game.
And so
you only get points.
Yeah. This is why I like this game so much.
You alone.
All right. So... Jay, I have a news article on speaking in tongues and a documentary on being pro-choice. So which would you like?
This is the pro-choice one.
All right. Here it is. This is a documentary called Lake of Fire.
There ought to be a consistency of people who are pro-life. There was a man named Cardinal Joseph Bernardine of Chicago. He's now dead. He came up with a phrase that I always liked. It was called the seamless garment. If you're pro-life, he said, you ought to be against capital punishment. You ought to be against war. You ought to be against stocking up and manufacturing weapons of war. And you ought to be against the kind of politics and the kind of administration that creates and sustains and increases poverty, because the people who are poor, their lives are severely diminished. I like that theory. Not all pro-lifers agree with that.
All right, that's it. Jay, any responses to this?
All right. So he's saying that it should be against war, against punishment, against stocking up weapons of war.
Right. He's saying there's a contradiction of those who are pro-life because they're against abortion, but yet they're okay with all these things that he named.
I see. Well, where to begin?
He's speechless.
I am a little bit. Where to begin? Punishment certainly... Sorry, I'm looking for words and I'm not finding any right now.
You want to defer to Pastor?
I think that'd be a good idea.
Okay, yeah. We'll defer to Pastor, then he'll get the next one. Pastor Wolfmiller, what do you think about this news clip?
Do you have under the predictable Pastor utter rubbish?
Oh,
this is. I mean, what an absolutely monstrous misuse of logic. So you're pro-life, so that means you ought to be. You don't think you should kill babies in the womb, but it also means that you shouldn't have bombs or you should support the poor and all this sort of stuff. This is just look. It's one thing to say the government should not allow one person to kill someone else. It's another thing to say that the government should feed everybody. I mean, when we say that we're pro-life, we are against people murdering other people, and to be against something like that, you have to have things to be against it with, like prisons and jails and stuff like that. I mean, it's all a part of one point that the government has as its role and responsibility, according to natural law, the proprium to protect life. And to protect life, that's in fact what an army does. It protects the life of the people in the country. It's what justice does. It means if someone comes along and smacks me in the face, I should take him to court and tell him he shouldn't smack me in the face anymore. Just like I can tell the guy he shouldn't also kill babies in the womb. So that to deny the system which enforces justice under the guise that it's not pro-life because it punishes people is the most ridiculous and upside-down piece of logic that you could possibly make. The same mechanism that punishes the man for killing someone in the womb is the mechanism that protects the citizens and goes to war, etc., etc. Let's talk about justice.
I didn't get anything. Okay, so I had Sixth Commandment and Fifth Commandment. I thought you might bring up either of those. And then I thought you would talk about, I guess you maybe talk about this in an indirect way, the right-hand kingdom versus the left-hand kingdom. Mm-hmm. And then whenever you respond, I always put et cetera, down, just because you say it all the time. So I thought I'd get. But the one thing that I wrote down that was my instant response to this guy is that he's saying if one is pro-life, then they should also be against war, and they should also be against murder and all these things, storing up weapons. Then the logic would follow that if you're then for abortion, that means you should be for war, for people storing up guns and all these things. And so, I mean, his own logic is falling apart on him because he's not it for all these things.
So. Yeah, of course not. Oh, that's great. That's classic. I really love it.
All right.
That's nice.
Well, to believe it or not, we're almost out of time. So we're going to play the last round of Predictable Vicar on the extended version of Table Talk Radio that's only available on our website. So if you're listening to this on the radio, go to tabletalkradio.org and find show 101 to hear the extended version of Table Talk Radio. And you can hear Jay's final response then on the Predictable Vicar on this news clip about speaking in tongues. This ought to be pretty good. All right. So one more time before we close out, I want to remind you about Table Scraps Live tonight on June the 6th on PirateChristianRadio.com. It starts at 8 p.m. Central Time, and we're talking to Professor Larry Anderson of Central Christian College about women's ordination, giving his arguments for women's ordination, and you, the caller, can call in and ask him a question live. We also encourage you to send us your comments and questions about Table Talk Radio at 866-851-5523 or questions at tabletalkradio.org. Thank you all for listening to Table Talk Radio.
Where the points are like a self-help book titled How to Read.
You've been listening to Table Talk Radio. The views expressed on this show are that of the hosts and do not reflect the views or opinions of this station. We would like to answer your questions concerning theology, the scriptures, or anything else. Send your questions to question@tabletalkradio.org or leave us a voicemail message, 866-851-5523. Be sure to check out our website, tabletalkradio.org. Thanks for listening, and tune in again next time to Table Talk Radio.
Thank you for staying with us for the extended version of Table Talk Radio on tabletalkradio.org. All right, Jay, it's time for the Predictable Vicar, and your news item here is a ABC News, I think Nightline, reports about speaking in tongues, and this is the story.
It is an ancient practice mentioned in the Bible. St. Paul called it speaking in the tongues of angels. Jesus' apostles were first said to do it at Pentecost. The technical term is glossolalia. Most people call it speaking in tongues.
There's a vast number of people out there that because they did not personally experience it or have been taught against it all their lives, there's no way they have an ability to embrace it. So that's common. We're still mocked and made fun of.
That's not stopping Pastor Jerry Stoltzfus or others in his congregation at the Freedom Valley Worship Center in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, from using what they say is a God-given gift.
It's almost as if I'm able to tap into God's heart and what he wants.
I get goosebumps, actually.
You can feel him all around you, and you can feel him speaking through the words that you're saying.
It almost sounds like a foreign language, but actually, those who speak in tongues are not saying anything in any known language.
With the gift of tongues, I can trust the Holy Spirit to figure out what needs to be healed. He will use what sounds like gibberish, like any other language sounds like gibberish. He will interpret that for his purposes and his uses.
We say things in our own English language, but speaking in tongues is a heavenly language that we're going to God and Jesus intercedes for us.
All right.
Wow.
Okay. Go ahead and take it away, Jay. What do you have to respond to that news article by ABC News?
Quite a bit. You hear the words that they're speaking, and for one, it just sounds like they're repeating a lot of the same stuff that they say. And it all sounds very repetitious, and that. And if you look at the known languages in the world, regardless of its, you know, click and pop or English or French or whatever, it always has some structure to it. There's always, you can understand, I mean, you can look at it and parse it up and figure it out, and you can learn that other language. And what these people are speaking, you don't get anything like that. It's not a language that you can discern. The second thing I would say is that you hear them speaking in tongues, but you don't hear anybody interpreting what those tongues are. And St. Paul talks about if there's some that do speak in tongues, but he also says there's some that will be an interpreter of those tongues. Now you can also talk about what those tongues are then in general, but it is a language. Should have some structure as those languages go. And as far as feeling God through that language or tapping into God's heart, that's just ridiculous. So
I cashed in some points on that one.
Yes.
Ridiculous. That's the best theological word.
All right. I got how many points do I get for each one of these? Pastor?
2, 3.
No, come on. 500,
600? All right. You can have 100 points each.
Okay.
100 points each.
I got 200 points on that one.
Okay, what were they? What'd you get?
I got that it isn't an intellectual language; it's just made up. And then also the tapping into God's heart talk about experiencing God. I also nailed that. I also wrote down the correct. I guess he kind of touched on this, just didn't elaborate on it. That what is being referred to in speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost. That were the apostles speaking in tongues as we know it today. Well, it's interesting because if you look at Acts chapter 2, the people from all these different countries, the text actually says these words, and they were hearing them each in their own language. So this isn't some sort of a unknown foreign language. They were actually hearing their own language, the language which they understand in their own ears. So this isn't the same thing. And then also, he didn't mention which I wrote down. Some churches actually use this speaking in tongues as a proof of their salvation. So they'll say, if you're really a Christian, you will speak in tongues. And this is such a terrible thing to teach because it's robbing people of the certainty of their salvation.
Yeah, it is.
All right. I guess that's it. Thank you.
You're
all.
Right. Wait, is that it? We're the extended edition is where we're supposed to go. Wild, you know, go crazy.
This is all the Table Talk Radio I can handle.
Do all sorts of crazy stuff we can't do on our normal show. That's it. We're just going to end it now.
Oh, Jay has
at least find a.
I did come up with a tag for Table Talk Radio.
Oh, let's hear it.
So yesterday I went to the movie, and I came up with this little tagline: Table Talk Radio, like yesterday's popcorn, stale, but not too bad.
But like not it. Too bad.
We'll put it in the rotation for our show. All right. Well, thank you for listening to the extended edition, and thank you, Jay Hobson, for being on the show. It was a pleasure to have you on and to play games with us.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening to this edition of Table Talk Radio. You don't have any more points jokes, do you?
I do. Look, I got one. Where at Table Talk Radio, where the points are like wearing an ugly mask to the Table Talk Radio Halloween party.
You said that on the air. You said that.
The table where the points are like taking a nap right before you go to bed.
That actually works against your night's rest because then you can't fall asleep and you're having dreams about bulletins and whatever else you said you're having dreams about.
Newsletters.
Yeah. I don't know. All right. Maybe we should end it before it gets any worse, huh? All right. That's it.